and putting it when all in at the same time, then I would have missed what he was trying to teach me in that lesson. So that's all I have. I'll say, bring the buckets up. I'll pray with offering. Dear Lord, we thank you for this night that we get to come together to worship you, Lord. And we thank you for the gifts and the offering, Lord, the tithes and the giver. We ask you to bless them, Lord, because your word does say that you will bless us, Lord, for our giving and for our offerings and our tithes, Lord. And we thank you for that and all the things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All we can ask. Amen. Well, tonight I was going to talk on praise and get into that because that's been like a heavy thing on my heart is what our praise is at home in our cars. What is your thought about what praise is? Would you praise him when you came into church if there's absolutely no instruments? If it was just one person standing up here and singing a song with nothing, would we still praise him? Could you still get into a mode of worship towards him? Because it isn't about an instrument, although we're very thankful for the instruments. It's not about a person. We're very thankful for the people. Amen. We have an amazing team. I love this team. They sacrifice their time. They come in here. They work hard. They get frustrated. We get frustrated with each other, and they fight through it. And, man, they just have a heart after God. But the Lord said, no. I even looked up scriptures on my own. You know how that happens when you do stuff on your own and you think, man, I could have been spending that time praying about this other thing he wanted me to study had I not thought about what he wanted me to do. So I'm going to start out in Ephesians 6:11. I like to read from the prompter. Don't ask me why. I just do. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. For we wrestle not, no, go back to 12, please. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. As I was reading this last night, the Lord said, some people have forgotten who they're fighting. They forgot who their enemy was. Because some people think it's their boss or their spouse, our siblings, the driver that just cut us off as we were driving, the pastor who keeps talking about hell and judgment, because we don't want to hear that. We just want to hear love, love, love. Our kids. Lord, you sure? No, I'm just kidding. The government, the leaders of our government, our other country's government. Uh-oh. The vaccine or a virus, our neighbors. Uh-oh, hold still, because I normally don't talk like this, but we're going to zip through this real quick because he told me to say it, so I'm going to say it. Democrats or Republicans. We've made our fight about so much more, or the church, the people in the church, or even sometimes ourselves. I wonder if sometimes that isn't why he says, love your enemies, because I, for one, have been my own worst enemy at times. because he's told me what to do when I get in a battle. He's told me what to do when things happen. He's given me a whole book of power and grace and mercy and strength and love and direction. Amen? And when we choose to do it our own way, that's when we start to get lost. That's when it starts to fall apart. Because we think that now it's finances. That's my biggest enemy right now is my employer because they're not paying me enough. Or my biggest enemy is time because I don't have time to do what I need to do. I don't have time to get down before you, Lord, and pray because I got to do this, I got this, I got this. I got kids, I got this. You're prioritizing everything over God. And you want God to prioritize you over everything. That's not how that happens. Right? That's just not the way it works. You can't put God on the back burner until you need him and then say, oh, by the way, God, I need help. You haven't talked to him in months. And now all of a sudden I'm going through this worst battle and, oh, that's right. Hey, God, can you help me? Where was your talks with him for the last few months? Where was your fellowship with him? If Phil didn't talk to me in 2 months, don't think he would be living in my house. Yes, if you're watching, my house. He's not watching right now because he's doing the funeral, but he might watch it later. Amen. We forget that our battle is not a natural battle. It's a spiritual one. I don't wrestle against Linda. I don't fight against Jeannie. I don't care what Holly says about me, right? Amen. Holly, quit talking about me. I'm just saying, that's not my battle. That's not my battle. My battle is keeping this under control, this flesh under control, whether she talks about me or not. Why does what somebody else say or do affect you so bad? Does it change who you are? If they say you're, I just watched a Western, a no good, down rotten scoundrel, does that change who you are? Sorry. Some of you can relate to those Westerns. Ooh, them old John Wayne movies, I'm telling you. Amen. Here's a little something extra for you. Anyway, sorry. Get far off the thing here. But so much so that I forgot what I was saying. That's horrible. Sorry, Lord. Hallelujah. But we forget, I'm just going to go back to the point, we forget who we're fighting for or we're fighting against. Not fighting against anything but me making sure that I am seeking the word, seeking the Lord, prayer, fasting, and doing what he's called me to do. Amen? That's what our job is. And when battles come, if you never argue or fight with your wife or your husband or your kids, and all of a sudden it's just this season of all-out war in your house, understand there's something behind that. So it's not your spouse that you're fighting against. There's some kind of spiritual thing going on that you need to go pray about and say, God, what is going on? Don't take it in your natural man to say, you're just tired and you're being mean. Go to bed, get up in the morning on the other side of the bed and talk to me nicer. Well, we can say that, but it doesn't mean that's going to happen, because if you don't change the atmosphere, if you don't change what the cause of it is, then it's just going to pop up again and again and again and again. Not dealing with the situation is not victory. Ignoring a situation is silliness. It's foolishness. Amen? Because you're not healed because you ignore a situation. You're not healed because, oh, well, I just said I forgive them, and I just went on and don't think about it no more. Okay. But did you deal with all of the stuff you were feeling? When you see them, if you see them, can you hug them? And say, hey, I'm so glad to see you? Because if you can't, then you haven't dealt with anything. Amen? The enemy is fighting against us. He has us targeting each other. He's sitting up there laughing, or wherever he's sitting. I don't even know where he's sitting. But he's not up there. But he's just laughing at us. Look at them. Called by God's name. And yet, here I go again. I'm telling you, a little shot will get them in a big fight. Listen, I'm not telling you get it or don't get it. That's your decision. I'm not your guide on that stuff. Listen, I teach you the word and you make decisions for your life. I'm not making your decision for you. And I know that there's people out there bashing pastors because they won't take a stand. Don't care. Not my place. My place is to give you the word of God, let you know what this says, and then you make the decision based upon what you know about the word of God and about your prayer towards the Lord and getting alone with him and him telling you what to do. He's got us fighting just over silly things. Just over silly things. The world is out there. I sometimes see certain things, and you got people that are wearing masks that are yelling at people that are not wearing masks. You got people that are not wearing masks that are looking at people that are yelling at people that are wearing masks. Why do you care? Why is that our focus? Why would that even rub us the wrong way? Is that the love of Christ that we show? To respond, even if somebody yells at us, bless you, have a great day. I would just keep walking. I wouldn't even get in a fight over it. I wouldn't even get in an altercation verbally over it. Why? Because it doesn't make sense to me. You want to talk about Jesus? We'll talk about Jesus. You want to tell me you don't like my pants? Tell me you don't like my pants. I don't care. I like them. Somebody else's opinion doesn't change who you are or what you think. So why are we so strong and wanting to go to a side that we don't need to go to? Why aren't we loving enough? Why don't we understand that right now there is a battle going on for your soul? I have never in my time, and I've seen lots of attacks that's come on the church, I've never seen one like this one before. I'm telling you about everybody that I'm about personally in relationship, not every, but there's a lot of people that I'm in personal relationships that are having battles right now. Bigger battles than they've ever had in their life. And why is that? Like, you can go to just about every single family that I know, even in here, and ask them what's going on. You have an issue? Yeah, oh my gosh, yes. This is going on. I have this and this and this, and it's just, it's a battle. Why? Because the enemy is seeking whom he may devour. He's coming after and he's seeing who he can draw off. Because before there's a great adhering to, there's a great falling away. He's seeing who he can get to fall away. The word says, I got it. I do. How many pages? And Mark. And James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then his lust is conceived, and it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. What it is trying to just cause division, cause these things in our life. That wasn't really the scripture I wanted, but when I was looking over it, I couldn't see it real fast, so... First Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh around seeking whom he may devour. Resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you. That's why I like to read it. In your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you.